Otis B. Dreads here. I want to talk to you about the only place you need to visit online for all of your true crime merchandise. TrueCrime7.store. True Crime, spell it out, SEVEN.store. This place has a little bit of everything. Get anything from t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, cutting boards, posters, and pillows. This place, just great prices. You get a 30-day money-back guarantee. Free shipping on all orders, $75 and up. If there's any problem, 24-hour online support is there to answer all of your questions. And don't forget, after you pick out that perfect true crime gift, but don't forget to put in promo code NLD and get yourself 10% off. And while you're over there, sign up for their newsletter and get all the latest deals and info about new products. Right, TrueCrime7.store. I can't talk enough about these guys. Check them out. TrueCrime7, SEVEN.store. They're waiting for you. And remember, stay curious, keep it creepy, and don't get murdered. Here we are. How you living, Dreads? We're back here in the insane asylum. It is time to go to the movies here in the insane asylum. I am Otis B. Dreads. We have Mr. Don Skirl with us as well. One third of tonight's show and one third of the normal podcast. How are you tonight, Skirl?
Rico Suave.
That tells way too much of a story. And we also have, as always, coming to the movies with us, good friend Dom. Dom, how are you? Out there in PA and in like fucking damn near lockdown.
I'm doing good. Kind
of cut out a little bit there. They must be fucking with your phones too, but that's all right. And we'll deal with that as it comes. I think Dom's phone did a big.
am I here? Can you hear me? Is that better?
Oh, there you go.
All right. Here we go. I'm sorry, it's the medicine. I'm probably talking quieter than normal because I'm more medicated than normal. I had a violent spell earlier this afternoon.
Well, you got to watch them violent spells, my friend, especially here in the insane asylum. If you're anything like Skirl, you got a healthy dose of the yellow pills, and Skirl can tell you all about them. But we got three. What?
They're trying to give Dom enemas, Paul. They're trying. I don't know what they're doing. They tried me once and I was like, no. And now I'm in a straitjacket, so you know.
And rightfully so, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going through the movies tonight. We got three movies. Normally, each of us will pick a movie. I think these three movies were kind of a group effort in a sense. Before we get into those movies and reviewing those, which I think is actually this is probably one of the better NLD goes to the movies because I really enjoyed all three of these movies. But let's give out some shout outs. Let's start over there on Facebook. We got the Twilight Hour, Miss Amanda Thomas, who is also a moderator over at Night Living Dreads group. She runs that over there. Lots of watch parties. Speaking of watch parties, our very own Skrull just got done with one over there. Chiller presents the Carnival of Souls. How did that go?
It went, actually, it went really, really great. There was a lot of people that showed up, and awesome. They enjoyed the movie, and I'm glad.
What'd you show?
House of a Thousand Corpses, actually.
That's always a fan favorite, I think.
Oh, Rob Zombie. You know, Otis. Yeah. Anything Rob Zombie.
I'm pretty hip on them. So, okay, Twilight Hour, Carnival of Souls, where Chiller presents a Carnival of Souls. We also have Misfit Horror Fiend Club, real good friends over there. Van and Trisha running that awesome group over there. Let's see, we have the Slaughterhouse, Slaughter on Wayne.
Slaughter on Guard.
Slaughter on Guard.
No, all right, I was wondering who, if anybody, was going to jump in. but awesome. Yeah, I know. You both got into that one. Awesome. Yeah, Slaughterhouse over there. Check them out. Of course, the Zombie Boob. They're over there. Another
Bongo Drum.
Friends of the Insane Asylum. And, of course, yours truly, all of us are over there. Night Living Dreads over there on Facebook. Got a page that you can go and follow. We also have the group. And that is where you can hear this podcast, as well as nightlivingdreads.com and Stitcher and Spotify. And also, as you heard in the very beginning, check out TrueCrime7.store. Pretty cool stuff. And all you NOD listeners, 10% off just because I fucking love you. How's that? Woo! Anyway, all right. let's jump right into this. We got...
get your killer on.
Get your killer on. We got three movies. We got REC, which is actually the abbreviation for record. We're going to talk about that one. It came out in 2007, I believe. Also have The Last Man on Earth, Vincent Price classic from 64, and then The Crazies, not the 1974. I think, which was directed by George Romero. But we're talking the 2010 remake of this. And we're going to start with Record, or REC. This was a really cool movie. Like I said, what did they call that? Oh, I can't think of the... What kind of footage? What do they call that?
Found footage.
Found footage. Yeah. I couldn't think of it. So this is basically a found footage, made movie. And the premise of this movie is you have this young girl, Angela, and this is made in Spain.
Yeah, Spanish film. Yeah.
Spanish film. Okay, and yeah, they are doing her and her cameraman Pablo. They have a little TV show that they do called "While You Were Sleeping," "While You Were Asleep" or something of that nature. Meaning, talking about things that go on in and around the city while you are laying your head down on the old pillar. In this movie, they're following some firefighters going through the life of, local firefighters, and Angela in the beginning, I don't know, she just kind of seemed like maybe she might've belonged in one of the other movies we're going to talk about, The Crazies, because she was almost wanting something like really fucking bad to happen. Like there'd be like a 5-alarm fire so she can get, great footage. And then she kind of changed her tune, but so they go out, they do get a call. She's going around, she's looking at the chow hall and everything, documenting all this and blah blah blah, and she keeps telling her cameraman, keep it rolling, keep it rolling, keep it rolling, and You know, keep recording. Never shut it off. Never shut it off. And so they get a call. The firefighters do, and it happens to be, you know, that there's an apartment building about five stories. And they hear this, you know, the neighbors start hearing this, like, just really weird scream. They said it was just quite terrifying to the point they all ran downstairs. They had, you know, they were all down there. They had a couple cops there. The old bald guy, the cop, Dom, what was his, was he like the chief or something?
I'm not sure what his actual. I think he was like the highest ranking sergeant or cop on the site at that point.
At that time.
He
okay.
might have been a chief. Yeah, he was like the first one on the site or whatever.
So these firefighters, and she's only following like two of them around, like one truck, and they get there and they meet up with these two cops, and they go and investigate, and right from the beginning it starts out kind of creepy. I don't even know how to describe what they run into in this apartment where these screams were heard. They get there, and they see this. She looks to be an older woman, gray hair, kind of stocky, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
She's not like a frail old woman. She you know, was well fed, and she shut up. She was a well-fed evil bitch, because they're looking at her. She seems kind of like in a trance, kind of catatonic in a sense, just standing there. And next thing you know, just soaked her, yeah, clothes. You know, her nightgown has, you know, just all this blood all over it. And just like
she had a bloody good time.
She had a bloody good time. That's right, man. Man, you're on it. And She all of a sudden, just out of the blue, while this older cop, the one we, you know, pretty much in charge of the crime scene, first one there, she attacks the holy shit out of him. I mean, is like ripping half of his face off. And that's...
I'm blaming
on basketball. It could have been. That's almost what she looked like. And it kind of took off from there. I don't know if I can go through like every, you know, little detail, right. but you know, the premise is it goes on, and they find out all of a sudden they try to get out of this building. There are cops and first responders and everything outside of this building. They learn that the building is being locked down. It's being quarantined, which seems to be the word of the days here recently, quarantine. So the building is quarantined, and they cannot figure out why the fuck is this building quarantined? What is going on? None of the residents know. The cops are pretty much, I think, in the dark. The firefighters are in the dark. Nobody really knows what the hell is going on, except for the fact that they are locked down with some really weird shit going on in this apartment building. Well, it turns out, long story short, turns out that there is some sort of virus or something of that nature that has infected people in this particular building. And you come to find out, came from a dog from one of the residents. So a lot of little twists and turns. Again, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Dom, I'm gonna give you the floor. Let you you know, talk about what'd you like about this movie, and did you like it at all?
I absolutely enjoyed this film. This film was very successful when it was released in Spain. I think it did pretty decent worldwide. So there's an American version that is called Quarantine.
Yes, yes. So I think it came out in like 2009, I believe.
yeah, it's like after the success of this, they Hollywood was like, we have to make this movie. And like, this is the second time I've seen it. The first time I saw it, I actually saw it in Spanish. This one I saw on Amazon, so I will give a warning that it's dubbed in English. If you can find, I personally, this is a preference thing, but I would prefer the original language with the subtitles. I don't really like dubbed films. Mm-hmm. However, the film is so good that I got by that real quick. The one thing I did have a complaint about initially, and it seems like it was more in the beginning of the film and then it kind of eased up some, was this being the found footage, the first person shot kind of film, the camera work at times was just unnecessarily shaky.
Yes.
When it didn't need to be. It was like maybe a little too much at times at the beginning. Not so much. I don't recall it being something that I was bothered by, like towards the end of the film, but like in this beginning scene, it was like, it would seem like it was just too much with the shaky. But the story itself is absolutely great. The acting is good. Everything else about it is good. Like, I like the idea that this is a park building. I like how they set it up with this TV crew there, you know, the fire department tonight, and they're hanging out or whatever because they're trying to get footage for their TV show. And they're going on a normal call where someone's screaming, the police can't get into the apartment, and the fireman has to breach the door for them. I guess maybe typical protocol, not over in Spain.
Right.
Here in the U.S., we know the cops will just kick your fucking door in.
Exactly.
That aside, it's done real good. I enjoyed the way, you know, there's things that kind of like you said, it's traced back to one of the tenants having a dog. And the vet said, you know, all this dog came in. Next thing you know, did he say they put it to sleep? And then I can't remember if they put it down or they had to put it down afterwards because it was like running a fever. And then it got super aggressive and started attacking every other dog. Then.
Right, right. Yeah. And then they had to put it down. Then they put it down, right.
But then at the ending, there's this whole weird thing when they get up in this penthouse. And they find out, like, this priest has been running this penthouse for, like, the last 6 years. And he's been trying, I guess, to look for a way. This is what I got. I don't know if this is what you got out of it or not. Because it's kind of like it's not really explained well in the way that it's translated, I think. Because you can't read the headlines because they're in Spanish or whatever. But it seemed like... there was a girl that was possessed, and they couldn't exorcise her. And it seemed like this priest was trying to find a way scientifically or medically to almost create like a vaccine. I don't know what, you know, there was something weird happening up in that penthouse, and I'm not sure what exactly was going on. But then we find, which is so creepy, that the possessed girl is still alive. And she's like, dude, she's a pantheist, right? Like, it's like, ah, she's skin and bones. And just like, ah, she probably hasn't ate in God knows how long. Like, that is so creepy.
Yes, it was.
And there is no happy ending. And I'm going to, like, applaud that because I, other guys, if I said, I love films that don't, yes, everybody. That is, like, to me, that's a great horror film when, like, there isn't a happy ending. There is no happy ending.
I like those films, too. I mean, you don't always want a happy ending with, you know, maybe the heroine, you know, the female that always gets away from the killer or things like that. Sometimes that's good, and you're like, oh, shoot, boy, that was...
Yeah.
Other times you just want to see everybody in the movie fucking die.
Right, no one's safe this time. Like, it leaves you with a different feeling at the end of the film. Like, it's like, wow, no one is safe. Like, no, I like when I'm like, you start a movie, and you're like, oh, okay, well, this person seems to be the center focus, so I know that whatever's going to happen is going to work out. and then like it doesn't, and it's like, oh wow, yeah, okay. Right. It don't always work out, I guess.
Exactly.
No, it don't.
Skrull, did you get, I know you were having some issues trying to, find this movie. Did you get a chance to view this?
I remember seeing it a long time ago. I didn't actually get to see it, but I read some about it and done some research. And to me, it was like a form of rabies or mad cow disease, rabies mix or something. In my opinion, you know, as far as the virus goes, and you know, it was just seemed to be a well written film as far as synopsis goes, yeah. and everything else. It was a well put together film. I like all the blood and stuff like that.
You certainly get plenty of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it gives you a new outlook on what could actually happen, mm-hmm. you know, and it coming from a dog, you know, and, you know, it being more like a rabies virus, you know, and you get bit by a dog, kind of makes you think.
Don't make me think. I try not to do that shit.
Well, it makes you think. You know, what if this happens? What if,
sure.
you know, viruses mutate all the time. Just take for existence, like the flu,
right.
You know, there's so many different flu viruses and things. Well, it makes you think, what if this virus mutates, or what if that virus mutates, or what if they're combined together? You know,
and I guess we do get like, a hint of that when, he shoots the woman running down the hall that was already infected and he kills her. And then when they go back to the apartment later, she's gone.
Yeah.
This is an overall really, really creepy movie, as you alluded to, Dom, with that really skinny chick towards the end of the film.
Yeah.
It's old and just brittle and just, I don't know, man. It is one of the, it is very, very creepy. And I don't get creeped out very often, but this is one of those films that had jump scares that had me and Mrs. Dredds literally almost jumping off the couch. I mean, there were some really, really good ones, in my opinion, that happened in the movie. I thought, again, I'll reiterate what you had mentioned, Dom. I think, yes, the cameras got a little too shaky sometimes. It was a little annoying. But once you start getting into the story, you can overlook the fact that it's dubbed in, you know, English.
Right.
And you can get over the shakiness of the yeah. camera. I think that was something they were trying to go for. Like, you can't see the whole, you know, picture. You can't see everything that's around right. them. So it leaves you that, okay, what lies over there in the fucking dark? And I kind of dug that, man. I really did. So anything you guys want to add to this? Because I think, I mean, this one definitely gets a Otis's, approval on this one. But anything you guys wanted to add to this before we start handing out some skulls?
I'm just going to suggest, what I said about it being dubbed and the safety camera work, like don't, if that's something that people think would turn them off to this, like, don't give this a chance because, like I said, I noticed it in the beginning, but like halfway through and into the end of the film, like I didn't notice it at all. And like, I'm sure it was still being filmed and done the same way. Like, so it's that good. The story is real good on this, the way it is done, you know, minus the maybe a little bit of excessive on the shaky work, but like the way it is done does pull you in. There are things in here like this side. Certain jump scares, but like that are effective. Like they actually are kind of scary. Like you said, almost make jump. Like yeah. I think there was one that got me real good, and I was like, oh. And I've seen this before, and it got me. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I don't. I like that that happened because it's so rare that it does. Yeah, I just wanted to add that.
All right. Don, anything, or Skrull, sorry, because that could be really confusing, a Don and a Dom. Skrull, anything you want to add to this? And yes, you should go back and rewatch it. I know you had some issues trying to find it because it is kind of a hard movie to find unless you just go straight to Amazon. But any last thoughts on this movie, Don? Skrull.
No, I mean it was a great movie. You know, it seemed to be. it was solid, Paul.
From what you read, it was solid.
Let's hand out skulls, yeah.
Yeah, let's hand out some skulls. We'll start with you, Dom. How many skulls you giving this one?
I enjoyed this a lot. I want to give it 4.5. I mean, that camera work in the beginning. It's more than a 4-skull movie, so I'm going to give it 4.5 skulls, yeah.
4.5. 4.5 yeah. Skulls for 4.5, yeah. Dom. Awesome.
And that's not down the middle. That's like half off the top.
Okay. Skrull, I know it's been a while since you've seen it, and you know, maybe not the entire thing. Do you want to hand out a skull, or just by what you've read about it?
I give it 4 skulls.
Okay. I guess that's fair. It is. You'll see. It's, I'm gonna be pretty consistent with my giving out of skulls. I'm giving it a solid 4 skulls myself. Again, I really enjoyed this. Had a lot of good scares. You know, just personal preferences. Like, slow down on the shaking there. I'm getting fucking seasick. But it overlooks some of that. You got a really good storyline, and a lot of these movies that we're covering tonight, you'll notice, have a common thread, it is kind of a sign of the times. A good Dom, 4.5, a solid 4 for Skrull, and a solid 4 for Otis B. Dreads. We're gonna move along, and it's just getting better as it goes, in my opinion. We're going back to 1964 for this one. Last Man on Earth. The Vincent Price classic. Dom, did you want to introduce the good people to this movie? Again, another one that I really enjoyed. This one really had me thinking from the get-go. What would you think about this one?
I am so happy to have watched this movie. The basic setting is Vincent Price is pretty much the last human being on Earth. They remade it in, I forget what year, but it was I Am Legend with Will Smith.
Right.
This is the original back in 1964, Vincent Price, and both from the same book. He's the last man on Earth. There is like this plague that's going around. It's so weird because you find out, like, they think it's being transmitted just by the wind itself, and you can catch it anyway. All of humanity has this plague, and I don't know if you're a zombie vampire or a vampire zombie.
Right.
But it seems like you're kind of, it's almost like, I mean, they're kind of like zombies in that they're slow and they're kind of dumbed down. They're not agile with their hands. Like they can't figure out things. They can't learn.
Right.
They just have this basic instinct. But they're like vampires where, like, they can't be around garlic and they mirrors.
Can't look in mirrors, right.
Yeah, they're driving, he's going around driving stakes through their heart. And it's so cool because that's what Vincent Price is doing during the day. He's a vampire hunter. All day long, he's going from block to block, from apartment to apartment. He makes stakes and he brings them and he finds them where they sleep. and he drives stakes to their heart, and then he takes them to the pit that the government started, which is because so many people were dying, the government was taking the bodies and throwing them all into a pit and burning them. That's how the only person alive is, or so we think anyway, is Vincent Hunt. And that what he's doing, he decided to take it off and hopefully one day find a survivor, which he runs into. However, this survivor we're going to find out is maybe kind of hiding something from him, and that's that he is already infected. And there's a whole bunch of people who are infected that are terrified of Vincent Price. They talk about him all night long.
Yeah.
They plan how to kill him because he is a legendary vampire. He doesn't even know that there's this like whole clan of vampires that are normal people, I guess. But they're taking, I guess, what is it? Is it just someone's blood or whatever? Somehow isolated. They like made a vaccine and mixed it with something.
Right.
Keeping them from becoming full-fledged, like, long. Like, they're able to still, but they have to be taking it or else they're going to be tough.
You kind of cut out a little bit there. You kind of cut out a little bit. Yeah, I'm not sure.
But
there you go.
Let me see. Okay, is that better?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, they have to keep taking injections of this vaccine that they made to prevent them from turning full, I don't know what it's called, vampire.
So it did come from Vincent Price's character, which his character is named Robert Morgan. And you mentioned they come to his house every night. It's like the same routine that Robert Morgan goes through every day. He gets up, he tries to connect with the outside world over an international like ham radio setup. And then, you know, he prepares for the night. Yes, he goes out and gets more garlic. If it doesn't smell, you know, strong enough to take and repel these vampires, these vampiric demons, I think they're described on Wiki as, and you know you hear them coming to the door, and they're just like you said, they're not very agile. It's like they got a 2x4 and they can barely like fucking swing it, and they're like Morgan.
Dude, that's like
that was kind of creepy to me.
That was so creepy. That was the creepiest thing to me, is the way they fucking taunt. The whole time they're outside, they're taunting you, just calling you by name.
Yes.
Like, oh, could you imagine? Like, could you imagine, like, first off, think of, like, because everyone loves zombies and has thought about a zombie apocalypse, but imagine a zombie apocalypse where they're all outside, like, your window, like, Odin,
they're all calling Odin, your name.
All fucking day. It's like, oh, my God, it would drive you even crazy, right?
That was bad. That was weird. Yeah. Let us in, Otis. We're going to kill you. Oh, man. That would freak me out.
That to me was one of the creepiest things about it. Yeah. I love those black and white.
Yeah. Oh, I do too. I'm a big fan of the black and whites. Skrull, I know you did. You did mention that you did watch this one. What would you think of this little Vincent Price classic?
I think it was well put together. It had a great storyline. The zombies got me a little confused there, talking about the vampire / zombie deal, but it was a solid movie. You know, it had that classic feel to it, you know, and to me back then, the movies were a little overdramatic.
Sometimes, yeah. Me and Mrs. Dreds have talked about that, you know, it seems like the older you know, film history, you go back, and I don't think it matters what genre. You go back to the 20s, man, and they just seem to overact. It's just me. Maybe it's just how, you know, that the acting was then. I don't know. Maybe that was considered, you know, just top-notch. But, yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, and some of them did. I don't know. Vincent Price made me laugh sometimes. His character, like, you know, speaking of the overacting, I'll get into that in a minute. Go ahead and finish your point, Don. Skrull.
But as far as like compared to Night of the Living Dead, which is another classic movie.
Sure.
It's very well put together. The characters were pretty solid in it, and you know, it kept me interested, you know, watching the movie with the whole, you know, storytelling and stuff. And
oh, I love that part.
It was kind of unpredictable to me, you know, some of it. You know, it was kind of unpredictable. And Vincent Price, he's the one of the classic horror characters, you know. He was around for a long time doing a lot of movies. He was a great actor, you know. And, you know, I can't really say enough about Vincent Price. Vincent Price, he's just a legend in himself.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, I wished it would come out, like, in color. That would be really cool. I had to watch black and white, which I don't think there is a color version.
No, they did a colorized version.
Yeah, they did.
Okay, well, I didn't get to see the colorized version. I just saw the black and white version. But
who wants to see a colored version of a 1964 fucking movie, man? Yeah. You got to see that in black and white. I'm just a big black and white fan. I love it. I think it just adds an element of
atmosphere.
It's very atmospheric. Yes.
Oh, don't get me wrong. It was great. I mean, the movie was great.
You just prefer more color in it. That's all.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen it in color too. I would have watched both of them, you know.
Right.
And you know what? The movie Legend is kind of based on that movie, but The Last Man on Earth is a lot better than Legend. I Am Legend.
Hmm.
My opinion.
I will agree with that.
Yeah.
I will agree with that.
No, I will too.
And, everybody should take time and watch that movie. It is such a classic movie, Last Man on Earth. It is awesome.
Dom, you wanted to say something about the I Am Legend versus, because I Am Legend, it was a book, it was a novel, and Last Man on Earth was based on that. Comparing it to the I Am Legend, Will Smith, which I'm sure you know a lot of people, you know, maybe have, listening have to the podcast seen, have yeah. seen. I have not, believe it or not. You wanted to say something with you know comparing the two.
I just want to say like I actually enjoyed I Am Legend. It's not a bad film at all, but. If you were going to compare these two, like, and you're going to base it to, like, which one do I think get a better telling of the book or whatever, I would definitely pick the Last Man on Earth, the Vincent Price one.
Right.
It's 1964, and here it is 2020, and you can sit down and watch this movie, and you don't go, oh, this is one of these crappy movies from the 60s or whatever. And it's like, no, it's good. It's still good. The way it's done is good. It's filmed good. The way Vincent Price is narrating it, like, so you're kind of like getting his thoughts or he's telling you his daily routines and stuff, and it's not him talking, it's just his voice crack added. It's like, yeah, it's done so right. It goes back to a time, and I do agree with the action because that time period, I think everybody kind of went to like the same kind of acting school where almost everybody was taught and coach to do that with it, turn and then turn this way.
Right.
You hold your head that way. Or, you know what I mean? It was all, because you see that in a lot of the films.
It's almost like soap opera acting. You know, like soap opera acting, like doing that dramatic look over.
There was one school. Everybody went to one school and it had one teacher. So they all came out. That's the same. That's what happened.
One acting school.
But there
school.
Are people. You know, who excelled at it, though, like Vincent Price and Lugosi and those guys.
Exactly. Yeah. You know,
put their niche in.
Yeah. This movie had me, like I said, from the get-go, just thinking. Like, I automatically, you know, because I thought that this was a very, again, not so much for the, you know, even the black and white. I thought this was a very atmospheric movie. You really, from the get-go, seeing his daily routine, hearing his thoughts, as you mentioned, he's like, you know, oh, I'm almost out of, and he's thinking, I must get more garlic, a lot more garlic. And, you know, and it's like, oh my God, it's like it was so easy for me to put myself in Vincent Price's character, Robert Morgan's. It was so easy for me to put myself in his situation and really dive into that. Like, oh my God, how bad would that suck?
He's sitting on the couch here, and he's looking at old family films of his wife and his kids, but they're both dead now. So, you know what I mean? It's like, that's what he does at night. He sits on the couch and he drinks whatever whiskey he got and thinks about his wife and his kid that passed away. Well, his best friend swings a 2x4 at the house screaming, Morgan, I'm coming to kill you. Until the sun comes up. Right. Until the fucking sun comes up. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, because
what a life.
What a fucking life. Because these you know, vampiric zombie, whatever the fuck they are. They you know, for one, they can't be out in the sunlight. Okay, which brings, you know, the vampire thing, and then of course the mirror and the garlic, and but then they crosses, yes, all that. So, you know, they can't be out in the sunlight, so they're only out during the day. As soon as that fucking sun goes down, boy, you're getting beatings on the door, like, Morgan. I mean, all fucking night long, and he even says it. Oh, I'm ready. I'm gonna hunker down for a long 12-hour fucking night. Here we go, day after fucking day.
He's drinking fucking whiskey till he passes out and can't hear that shit.
Right?
He's going every fucking night. He's got to play secure. It's like, I got to drink until I can't hear him.
And I thought that was so weird because, like, I mean, yes, his windows are, like, boarded up and shit, but these are not, like, you know, zombie-like creatures that are just busting their hands through 2x4s or whatever, reaching in, like you might have saw with Night of the Living Dead. These motherfuckers can barely pick up a 2x4, you know? They're like, yeah, Morgan! And they're just, like, knocking on the door.
A poor motor tail.
Right, very poor. What's up, Skrull?
The part where he opens the door to his wife after he done married her.
Right.
Did you see the look on his face?
Yes. He was fucking terrified. What the fuck? Didn't I just bury her?
Look at that face, man. That's the face I would make if I come in contact with somebody with the coronavirus.
You know what was great? If I could take a minute to point out how ridiculous this part was, though, I do have to say, because it made me laugh. It's the only part of the movie that made me fucking laugh. Like, Vincent Price is in his daughter's room, and she got, like, one of them, I don't know what you call it, like a 6-10 or something over her bed, you know what I mean, with her teeth in her eyes and stuff. And then his wife comes in, and she's 6'2", and he says, our daughter isn't feeling too well. Maybe you shouldn't send her to school today. And I'm like, that little bitch is moaning in bed under a 6-10. You think she can stay home? Come on. Like, where do you draw the fucking line? She's laying there. She's like, she's a misery of a fucking 6-10 over. And he's like, maybe she could stay home today. Maybe.
Maybe.
She stay home today. I guess yesterday she went to school. Like, great.
Well, you know what else that, you know, I thought was actually humorous, being she brought up the little girl laying in bed, was, you know, because when you come down with this virus, you know, it one of the first, you know, signs that you're really going fucking downhill is that, you know, you go blind.
Right.
And the little girl, and even Mrs. Dredds brought this up. Jody brought this up. She was like, oh, come on. You know that little girl can see her because she's laying in bed and her mom's to the right of her. And she, you know, is trying to act blind. I get it. It's a kid, okay?
Right,
I'm an
right.
asshole for picking on a fucking kid. But whatever. Come on, whatever. You know, she's looking, you know, at the corner of her eye, like kind of looking to the side, keeping her head forward, looking to the side, going, where are you, mommy? And it's like,
yeah.
Come on, you're looking right at you. You could act a little more blind than that. At least stare off into space or something. You're looking right at her.
Eventually, they sent children to that same acting school they all went to.
Right. Like, they have a child's acting school for, you know, to act like that.
At least act like Ralphie in the Christmas Story when he had something.
Right.
Oh my god! But yeah, I did laugh at that part. But there were, I mean, I just kind of have dark humor in my blood anyway. So I watch serial killer documentaries and laugh, make jokes. But anyway,
I liked it when Ben that these people show up, right? That are like these new hybrid people because they found a cure, right? Well, some sort. And they're like beating the shit out of the zombies and everything. And Ben looks and he's like, you could see a poor look on Ben's face. Like, oh shit, things getting real. And he like shuffles off. And I don't know how the hell he got on the roof. He got shot. Transport up there? I mean, did he, like, beam me up Scotty and get up on the roof? I mean, how did he get up there?
So some of the more humor, another humorous part that I found funny was to watch the show, how non-agile these whatever they are.
Right.
You watch Vincent Price go through and he just will just like kind of bump into him. Like, you know, if you're walking in the store and you accidentally bump into somebody and he bump into him, like, I mean, that was his forcefulness, you know? I mean, he wasn't like a violent, like, you know, actor as far as like throwing punches and shit and, you know, whatever, you know? So it was like, he was just like shoving him like a little girl. It's like, dude, you're Vincent fucking Price, man. You're shoving these people like your 12-year-old little girl.
He did throw a couple bad punches where, like,
he did.
Like, his arm never left the beam. Like, he just kind of turned his shoulder and acted like hit somebody. Like,
right.
That arm never, it was a V the whole time. Smack. Yeah, okay.
Oh, like, man. It's
like, you get off me, girl. You get off me.
Yeah.
Oh, it's one of those type of punches, you know, like
it's like, oh, like you have the limp arm or something. I don't know. Anyway, shut up, Skrull. You're throwing me off. Anyway, no. Overall, I thought that this is a classic. This is 100%. Approved by Otis B. Dredds. I think you should actually go out buy the hard copy, and I don't think I have it. I do have a big collection of older black and white movies. I don't know if this one is on it or not. I'm gonna have to look. But this was an absolute great movie. Dom, let's start with you. Let's give out some skulls and then get to the main event of our movies tonight. How many skulls you giving Last Man on Earth?
I am going to give this masterpiece a highly recommended 4 skull.
4 skulls. 4 skulls.
4.
That a good solid 4, and that's yeah, that I can see that. Skrull, what are you giving?
4.5 skulls.
Oh, he just jumped right in there. 4.5 skulls. Okay, all right. I'm actually going to give it, I'm going to go right at a 4.25 skulls. Four and a quarter skulls. I thought again, this is one that should be in every horror fan's DVD collection or owned somehow the ability to watch every day. And I actually found this on YouTube.
Yeah, I was going to say anyone can go to YouTube anyways and find it. Like, if you want to check it out, and then yeah, you should buy this. Like, this is something you should own. It is definitely that good. Like, God forbid something ever happens and we don't have like the internet or ways to access movies or something. If you have this in your collection and you can break this out at any moment and watch it, you yep. will be happy.
Exactly. Agreed. Now. We're going to get, going to get, we going to get, we're going to get the coronavirus. We're going to get to the, as I mentioned, the main event of our movies tonight, because this one is probably going to get the highest skull rating that I've given tonight. This is 2010's The Crazies. Which some may recognize that from the 1973 film with the same name by the great late George A. Romero. This one right here really had me thinking, and I know I've made, you know, some jokes about the you know, coronavirus and everything that's going on right now. I guess it's just my way of dealing with it. It is not a joking matter in any way. I do have to, you know, kind of bring a joke in here or there because, well, it's a podcast. I'm trying to entertain you fucks.
Don't run out of TP.
I haven't yet.
I stopped shitting.
You stopped shitting.
That's why I'm going to try to get through this by not kidding. This is why I'm in the insane asylum.
But
everybody got a plan, buddy. Everybody got a plan.
Everybody's got a plan.
And you know what? What's funny is everybody went out and bought the TP, right? It's a respiratory virus, okay? What are you going to do? Eat the TP? Find fiber? I mean... Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I'm just glad all my neighbors stocked up for me. That's all. What? Who said that? Stop. Let's get back to this movie.
Let's give a round of applause for Dom's neighbors.
They've earned it. Trust me.
They've earned it.
They earned it.
Okay, the synopsis of this movie is it's a fictional Iowa town that becomes affected by a military virus that turns those infected into violent killers. We'll get into how the military was involved in this infection. It was released on February 26, 2010, to pretty much an overall positive reviews from critics. And it was actually a pretty modest, box office success. It was a $20 million budget and a $55 million box office ticket. So didn't do too bad. Given what they put into it and what they had to work with and what it brought back. So basically, what you have, it's a town, again, a fictional town, Ogden Marsh, Iowa. They start noticing some really bizarre behavior by some of the locals. The first bizarre behavior that you come across in this movie happens to be at, I believe it's a high school baseball game. It's opening day, and there happens to be a guy who, I guess an older gentleman who was known as, for a while as kind of the town drunk. You find out later that, according to his wife, he had been sober for some odd years and blah, blah, blah. Little side stories. But, here in the middle of this game, And of course, the sheriff and his deputy, who, you know, are the, you know, some of the main characters running through this film. They're there at the game. You know, it's a small town. I think it was said in the movie, you know, this town was only supposed to have, like, I don't know, about 1,200 people or something. Pretty small town. And the sheriff or the deputy happens to notice, here comes this guy. I believe his name was Rory. He's just kind of like, in a daze, walking kind of slow with a fucking shotgun hanging by his side, walking through the outfield from the outfield wall. They clear all the players off, and this guy's not really saying anything. He's confronted by the sheriff, pretty much, you know, the main character, David. And he's told to, you know, put the gun down, come on, let's talk, Roy, come on, you've had too much to drink or whatever. All of a sudden, Rory, just without saying a word, pulls up the shotgun. Of course, the sheriff puts one in his head. And they couldn't understand. What it started to get weird, I think, for the sheriff's department was when, because old Sheriff Dave, he was pretty fucking sure that this guy was drunk, because he wouldn't normally, you know, I guess, do something like that. He was just acting so strange. They just assumed, oh, he fell off the wagon. He, you know, he's a drunk, whatever. It turns out toxicology reports prove that old Sheriff Dave was wrong. Dave's not here. Anyway.
Dave's not here, man.
He wasn't drunk. So they're trying to figure out, well, what the hell is going on? Well, through, you know, this little mystery, you know, Sheriff Dave and his damn deputy's name? Let's see. Where is it at? Russell.
Russell.
Deputy.
Yeah, old Deputy Russell. Deputy.
Damn good deputy.
Deputy dog.
The dog.
He,
Uncle Burnham.
Where the hell was I? Oh, they started playing, you know, detective, of course, in a small town, sheriff and deputy, probably the only one that's going to fucking do it. And they realize, or they find out through this little searching of clues, that there had been a plane, a military plane, that had gone down in some waters. It was almost like kind of a marshy area.
It was a swamp.
Yeah, like a swamp type deal, right?
Yeah.
And what was on this plane happened to be something called Trixie, a biological weapon. And they had canisters of this Trixie on there, which leaked into the water supply. It just so happened that the water that was in this swamp led into other places, which eventually found its home coming out of your fucking faucets. And so people were drinking the water, and this and that, and causing them to become just out of control, you know, violent fucking people. And would just all of a sudden, they could be sick and just start having violent urges, which it seemed later on that was kind of the clue that things were going bad with people. They just start acting violently, like old Rory. So with that being said, there was, you know, it goes on from there. Dom, I'm going to hand the mic over to you first and tell us a little bit about what you thought. And you can get more into the story if you want, but what do you think about this?
I like a lot of this movie. I love this movie. One of the things I wanted to bring up, because like the first time I saw this, it actually shocked me, is the second act of violence that takes place in this film. The first act being Rory getting shot on the baseball field, which happens very quickly in this movie. The idea that something bad is going to happen. And this movie is like I mean, it's go from the start. Like, there's no slow build to where we're heading. And the second act of violence to take place, when I first saw this, it blew my mind. This guy lost his shit, and he went psycho on his family. His wife and son are hiding from him inside of a closet, locked in there. And he douses his house in gasoline and sets his wife and child on fire.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. I know where this movie's going. It's going to some dark areas, and we're going to explore some dark places in this film. And that's what it does, because then you see how quick, like, the way the government responds. You learn a lot in this film, a lot that I think we would see in such a scenario where something like this takes place. Trixie is a biological weapon designed by the government that was to be deployed to cause a population to destabilize, become full of rage and start attacking each other instead of worrying about the enemy and stuff. So that's what we have going on here. But the government has to cover this up. So they isolate this town and they come in and they start getting everybody and they start stuffing them in the buses and then they bring them over to the high school, which is exactly how this would play out. And then they have these whole, these fences that they're putting up, and they're putting little groups here. And this group has clean, and this group is dirty, and this group needs further looked at and stuff. And then all of a sudden, they bring troops in, and they don't tell the troops what's really happening. They tell the troops, you have to keep your mask on. This stuff is airborne. Everybody in this town is infected. There's no way to save them. We have to eliminate all of them. And it just gets crazy, and that's what happens. And you see stuff like the locals who didn't play along, they don't want their loved ones because they got separated from them. Like, at first, they were shipping the healthy ones out, like getting them to different places, and they were keeping the sick ones. But then it got to a point where they're going to kill everybody anyway. And some of the healthy ones went back, and, you know, good old boys, jumping in their trucks, grabbing their weekend warrior assault rifles, come blasting through the fence and start opening fire on troops because they're going to save all their loved ones because they know the government's going to kill them. And, like, yeah, this movie is so good. This, I love the original. George Romero's story is great. I love this remake. This very, very rarely does a remake come along where it's either just as good or even better than the original film. And it's something that I will watch instead of the original, or take turns, like Night of the Living Dead. I'll watch the original and then I'll watch the 1991, you know, because they're, like, they're both so good, you can't go wrong. This movie is that. This is that good. You cannot go wrong watching this movie, especially with all that's happening in the world today. Like, you know, if you want to think about worst case scenario, something like not necessarily what we're going through, but something similar to that could happen and be far worse than what we're going through currently. And this might be the exact way that, you know, the reaction would be. And what I love about this is there isn't a happy ending. Even if you think there's a happy ending, it lets you know there isn't going to be a happy ending to the story. Like, great. Like,
yeah. The end, you kind of, you know, you get that little hint that this is not over for
it's Sheriff not Dave.
Yeah, this is not contained. Skrull, what did you think of the crazies?
Oh my God, man! This movie was just top notch as far as, like, you know, deadly virus movies and everything.
Right.
And, you know, it hit all the points. You know, you have the virus outbreak, you have the quarantining and things, and you have the dark parts, you know, of the movie, you know, the killing and people turning on each other. Mm-hmm. And it was just, you know, it makes you think, you know,
it hit home. I mean, it really starts to hit home with, like you mentioned, Dom, like what we're going through. It hits home.
What's real powerful is there's one scene where they're first, like, separating the sick from the healthy, and the woman's kid is positive, and they rip the kid from the mother's arm.
Oh, my God,
as they
dude.
Carry the kid away. Yeah.
That was bad. Go, Scroll, go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt there, but he's pretty used to it. I do it all the time.
And it's a very true synopsis of what could happen in real life as far as, like, government warfare and, you know, releasing these biohazard weapons. And what if somebody was transport, like the army, or something like that, were transporting a virus over us in an airplane? This could actually happen.
I believe it may have already.
It could have been. I mean, it could have. But
no,
you know,
very, very true.
But I mean, it makes you think. It's like how would you survive? You know, how would you survive through an outbreak? What was going to happen? What if FEMA comes running in there and puts up FEMA camps everywhere? You know, and we won't get into all that conspiracy theory stuff, which a lot of it is true. But, you know, it makes you think what's going to happen.
Sure.
You know, a lot of movies hide truth in their movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's, how do you hide something from people?
Well,
put it in plain sight.
I tell you what, this movie, I don't think hit a whole lot. I think it was right out there in your face as to, you know, if this was a worst case scenario at any time. You know, I think that these are very plausible things that could happen, as you both have said, that could happen, if not in the times that we are now, in some kind of future, or it has happened in the past. This almost had a Red Dawn feel to it.
It did. It did. You know, it's just like, well, Red Dawn, yeah, it does. But I mean, it was more I don't know. It was, it had its own feel. What, you know, a virus movie should be.
Sure.
You know, it had its own feel, its own take. To me, I mean, you know, it's not really zombies. It's like. It's almost like they had mad cow disease,
right?
You know,
right,
like that. Because if you look at mad cow disease, one of the symptoms is hemorrhaging.
Yeah, and so, they would all start bleeding and shit.
Yeah,
they're definitely not.
So
yeah.
Basically, the Trixie virus to me was a form of mad cow disease. You know, that was. Experimented on and released,
or
you know,
or like you mentioned in when we talked Last Man on Earth, you mentioned it's almost like a rabies thing.
Yeah, and it's very well could happen. I mean, they're experimenting, and it's common knowledge now that we see the coronavirus, you know, hit that. You know, they do experiment with these viruses and have these viruses locked away. They've even got a virus that's been locked away for hundreds of millions of years that they've just now discovered. And it's frozen, like it's inactive.
Like Han Solo.
Under containment because they don't even know what it is. So, I mean, you know.
It's Han Solo's semen.
It could be. It could be Darth Vader's.
Could be.
I'm your father.
God, that was the worst Darth Vader I have ever heard.
Let me try this. Let me try this again.
Oh God.
No, don't. You said it.
There you go. That's better.
All right.
Anyway.
But I mean, as far as the movie goes, I mean, to sum it all up, it was just. It was more than I expected, and it was a great movie, and Would I watch it over again? Hell yeah. I'd watch it several times.
I have in the past couple of days. I'm going to give my last thoughts, and then we'll go to Dom for handing out some skulls on 2010's The Crazies. I just wanted to mention the one thing that was just, I don't know, it almost gave me goosebumps. Like oh, God, that's so real to today. You know, when David, the sheriff, and his wife were, you know, rounded up pretty much and taken to one of these, you know, cams to determine who is healthy, who is sick. What's the first fucking thing they did? Take their temperature.
Yep.
We see that now. The last time I do some work, some flooring in a local retirement home, I haven't been there in over a week. The last time I was there, they were in a code yellow, and that was the very first thing they had to do was take our temperature. It was so eerie. And that's not the only one. If you guys can think of other ones that relate to what so many people are going through with having to be, you know, locked down in real life. This is real world, not, you know, a movie. You know, being locked down and having to, you know, be forced to stay in their house, and, you know, you could get issued citations and blah, blah, blah. And businesses are closing. You know, economies are crashing, you know, and all over because of this. That was just really eerie. Go ahead, Skrull.
I want to add, you know, I've been to the doctor actually this last week, and actually this week I went to the doctor, and when you walk into that office right there at the door, there is a check-in center, and they are wrapped up like all over, you know, gloves, masks, everything.
The whole biohazard thing. And they're sitting there with
that temperature thing, like you was talking about, that they run across your head, and it felt like you were trying to get into like Fort Knox,
right,
just to have something done, you know. And while I was there, before I went to the hospital, I went to get some donuts.
Of course.
Well, let me tell you about this. I went to go get the donuts, and there was a limit of 10 people that could be in that lobby at one time, and they had their whole sitting section cut off. So
you counted as two, though, right?
I counted as one and a half. Well, actually, one is being short as I am, but, you know, give or take. But, you know, it's a shock to go into these places, and there's like a certain amount of people that can be in a store at a time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And it was so well portrayed in this movie. Let's give out some fucking skulls, Dom. I know you really like this movie. We all think very highly of this one. This is another one I think that gives a thumbs up from all of us. Many skulls you given this, and you can go into why.
Let me do a real brief, just touch on, because I didn't mention it, that I think the cinematography and the directing and the acting are all superb in this film, because we didn't touch on any of that when we went through it. It's like, it's done great. The actors are great. Like, it's everything about this film is enjoyable.
Agreed.
And I'm going to give out the skulls I'm going to give out based on, first off, I'm going to give some bonus skulls here for Pitchfork Guy, because I just,
oh, God.
That is one of the most intense scenes in that movie, and I love it.
It was very intense.
I love that scene. And because, even though it's a remake, it's a 2010. I don't give out many skulls, this many skulls to films after 1989, so I have to do this once in a while. I am absolutely giving the Crazy 2010 5 skulls.
Wow.
I love this film. I can watch it any time. I enjoy it every time I see.
Awesome. Five fucking skulls. Have you ever, I don't think you've ever given five skulls when we go to the movies.
I think I've given out a couple. I've given out some, like, yeah.
It's sure, very like, rare, though.
Five skulls, and yeah. Yeah, it's rare.
Very
it's
rare.
Extremely rare. But I think I have done it like two or three times.
Skurl. can you match that? What are you giving the crazies?
I am giving the crazies a five skull rating.
Wow. Two fucking five skulls. I don't think this has ever happened here when we go to the movies. Huh. This is unbelievable. This is history in the making. I don't know why.
The fans will all enjoy this film. Everyone who listens to this podcast will enjoy this film.
I agree. And, you know, I... this has never happened. I'm also giving this five fucking skulls. Woo!
Yeah.
Wow. Five skulls. That is a perfect score for a movie here in NLD Goes to the Movies. I don't think this has ever, ever happened. A perfect score of 15. Five fucking skulls, all three of us, for the crazies. You will not be disappointed. And if you are, I just don't, maybe you just don't have a good taste in what makes a good virus. It's not really, again, a zombie type movie because...
End of the world.
It kind of has that feel to it. I don't know. I can't say enough about this movie. I've watched it probably about three or four times this week.
I love it. I think what everyone doesn't know is before we came on tonight and we were discussing the movies and what order to go with, because we enjoyed, all three of us enjoyed all three movies. The one thing we unanimously agreed on from the get-go was which one was last.
Yes.
Like, which one are we talking about last? It's like the crazy. Like, yeah. Yeah, all three of these movies are good, but like this is like a step even above that. Like, this was actually like a great three movie set to sit down and binge watch. Like, I think if you're like me, I'm here in Pennsylvania, 90% of us right now can't work. I'm being told that after Monday, we're going to not be able to leave our house this evening. Unless it's for, like, I think medical emergencies or, you know, like, their grocery store. But I don't know how this is going to play out or anything like that. But, like, you're going to have free time to watch some movies. Sit down, watch REC, watch Last Man on Earth, and watch The Crazies. And it's like, yeah, all three of these were great.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This was really fun preparing for this Night of the Living Dreads Goes in the Movies, because they were three movies you could just, you know, watch, and then, you know, boom, it's like, damn, now I kind of want to watch the other one again. That's how I felt anyway. Hey, we're gonna wrap this up. Great movies again. Last Man on Earth, Vincent Price, 1964. Check it out. REC from 2007. You can check that out on Amazon Prime, and you can watch Last Man on Earth on YouTube. And then, if you happen to, have a Fire Stick or something like that, which I'm sure you could probably also watch The Crazies on Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
Prime.
It's free. You don't have to rent it. Yeah, it's free there. That's
it's
why I
free.
It.
There you go. So there's no excuse why you shouldn't go and check any of these movies out. Guys, thank you so much. Dom, well, I can't wait to set up the next NLD Goes to the Movies. Thanks for hanging out with us, brother.
Always a pleasure. I enjoyed my time out of my padded trail.
Cool. Hang on the phone there, and then I want to talk to you afterwards. Don, it has been again a pleasure.
No problem. I mean,
I was wondering if he was even there.
Yeah. My back was itching.
Your
but
back.
No problem.
Awesome. Hey, we'll next week we are having an actual listener come on the podcast and talk some HP Lovecraft. We'll talk to you then, guys. Have a good rest of your week. We'll talk to you here soon.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.